The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I'm your host, Samuel Honnold, a refugee broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country, from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. This show is truly worldwide, reaching the United States and Canada, and through the miracle of shortwave radio, can be heard in Central America, in all of the Caribbean, in all of South America, a beautiful continent which is sadly today under an iron curtain of new totalitarian tyranny and Chinese invasion. God bless you captive souls listening on the island of Cuba, in socialist Brazil, in communist Argentina or Chile, hasta los pingüinos de Antártida. Que gracias a Dios nos escuchan. Tonight, for the first time, this show is on terrestrial radio in the Las Vegas Valley. We welcome the audience of KKVV 970, the Gospel Airship. We welcome the people of Las Vegas to the audience, and we ask you to come along with us as we look at the Bible in a whole new light. Join us as we dare to believe, dare to be free, as we dare to live by the sword. Let's kick it off with the Raise Band, a band you probably never heard of, but I think you're going to love it.
Oh,
band is Raze, R-A-Z-E, your feature band on tonight's Worldwide Living by the Sword program. They were a tremendous group and an anointed group, a bunch of lost kids from a perverse generation, from a twisted generation. This band could have been the Black Eyed Peas. They were together before Fergie joined the Black Eyed Peas. And I would even say that Fergie and Will.i.am took some cues from stars Mizzy and Jamarc that headed up the great band Raze. They were all my friends. The dancers were my friends. JD was my friend, who had incredible soul for a white man, by the way. I do not dance at all, but I got great respect for somebody like JD that could throw it down. And Donnie would belt out. She was the star vocalist, and she could still get out there and dance with the best of them. And Jamarc and Mizzy headed up this group. A band that broke through racial barriers, denominational walls, genre lines were blurred and blotted out. And before they could really make it to superstardom, this band was wrecked and destroyed by pastoral failures and by petty jealousy. Now, here at the Gospel Gunslingers, a lot of what we talk about is punishing crimes and holding the guilty accountable. So in my commentary about Jamarc and Ray's band, it is not my intent to demean any crime that was committed or to trivialize any victim, rather to unmask the larger crime. And this is where it's going to come home to you, whether you are in the United States of America or in a small nation in South America where this show is heard. The same pastoral failures are happening where you are that destroyed this band and this movement and really a generation of lost young people with it. Where you live, there is the same Phariseeism from Jesus' day where the religious leaders strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. In your city, law enforcement loves petty crime. They love to bust a guy for stealing a candy bar and ignore huge criminal syndicates that involve the leaders of their city and very often their bosses. Anybody out there spinning vinyl? Any real Las Vegas disc jockeys? Listen, I want a workout mix from Ray's band. And I want a dance mix, so you mix it up and send it to me. We'll publish it on my YouTube, and you can use it wherever you're at. But In the House of God, this little Christian band who signed their own label in Nashville, Tennessee, and with a label in Europe when the church started to close the door on them, they had a unique and powerful sound before there was Club Babies, before there was Club Rain in the Desert, all places that I've been. There was Ray's band, just like Elvis Presley, who was anointed and learned to sing in church, and before anybody did anything, Elvis did everything. Well, I'm bringing it to you. Lots more Ray's band coming up after this Bible verse and your Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. So begins the beloved verse, Isaiah 52:7. Your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I'm Pastor Sam. We're actually 5 years into doing these teachings on self-defense and self-government, probably over 500 Bible lessons, each with a central verse, and all of those teachings having to do with self-defense and self-government, that the Bible is not a pacifist book, that it's a book of war stories, and it tells us all the keys of how to prevail and how to have a just society. But to have a just society, we have to work a little bit of justice. So I'm going to begin by, there will be some new verses too, but I'm going to relay some of the foundation of self-defense and self-government in the Bible. And I hope that we can all just take a new look at the Word, look at the Word in a new light, and see that even this famous verse that has to do with sing-songiness and niceness and people bringing good news is actually about victory in war and battle. What does the watchman wait for? What do watchmen do? Okay, the night watchman is watching for the thief. Maybe it's the American cowboy or the shepherds of the world that are keeping watch over the flock by night, watching for the wolf. And if you think this is relegated to the past, even in civilized Europe, in the nation of France, wolf populations have exploded, and the shepherds can't keep enough dogs to prevent depredation. They have to keep watch. They have to keep a vigil like the boy shepherd David. Verse 8 tells about the watchman in a military sense, standing on the city wall. And once in a great while, that watchman, he's watching, of course, for the enemy. But once in a great while, he gets to sound the alarm that good news is coming. What is that good news? That the cavalry has arrived, that reinforcements have arrived. The watchman's watching for the enemy, hoping that they don't get clobbered in the night, but sometimes he brings the news that friendly forces have arrived, that air support has arrived, that reinforcements are on their way. And when we read this beloved verse, which is thought to be about peace, that's what it's about. What does the watchman cry out? That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that reinforcements have arrived. And the verse finishes, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Yes, our God reigns, and we will publish salvation, that our God reigns and will not suffer the wicked. The Living by the Sword Worldwide Radio Program is the new home for Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News. Now, we're not against any race. We're not against any nation. In fact, we love the nations of the world and all the different flags, especially in our hemisphere, our new world that God gave to the people of the Americas, the free world. A free world that's in great danger today. An iron curtain has descended over all of South America, and we break through the blockades and the censorship in those nations by broadcasting directly to the people of those nations with shortwave radio. There is not a nation in the Americas that has not been destabilized by intentional, driven, agitated, irregular migration. Remember that Venezuela was once the wealthiest nation in all of the Americas, surpassed the United States, and that Argentina, a great nation with many educated people, is now in shambles under a communist government. Their peso has collapsed and lost 95% of its value, and educated Argentines are on the streets of Los Angeles living in tents, very thankful that they've made it to American soil, but a little bit unsettled and concerned about the future, wondering whether there's any place in the world for them. I'm a big fan of President Andrés Manuel of Mexico and of his Morena Party. I believe in the fourth turning of Mexico. I believe that he's making Mexico great. But within the Morena Party, there's talk of such a thing as chapulines. Chapulín is a grasshopper. So what a chapulín is someone who was part of the ruling elite from another party and has now joined Morena. They've hopped over like a grasshopper, hops over the fence, and they may or may not actually have the best interests of the nation or the values of the Morena Party at heart. Okay, so for example, in the northeastern state of Tamaulipas, which borders Texas, and this is one of the main borders that drugs and humans are trafficked across because of the criminal governor, Francisco Javier García Cabeza de Vaca. Cabeza de Vaca has only been out of power for a few months, and his whereabouts are unknown. He's probably under the protection of his good friend, Texas Governor Greg Abbott. So there's a new governor in Tamaulipas State for the Morena Party, and the senator of Tamaulipas State, one of two, of course, is Faustino López. Now, he was killed in a car accident, a suspicious car accident, and the word on the street is that Cabeza de Vaca had him whacked, had Faustino López whacked, because he was a true, devoted Mexico-first senator, and because he was the new governor, America Villarreal's right hand. So regardless of whether he was good or bad, now he's dead, and his seat has to be filled. There, the second Senate seat for Tamaulipas is held by another Cabeza de Vaca, a relative of the fugitive ex-governor. Okay, so there are two candidates going up for the seat. One is Imelda San Marcos. She's with Cabeza de Vaca's PAN party, in very tight with Senator Cabeza de Vaca and probably ex-Governor Cabeza de Vaca. And who does Morena run against her? J.R., Jose Ramon Gomez Leal. Now, here's where it gets crazy. The fugitive Governor Cabeza de Vaca is married to J.R.'s sister. I don't know where these people's loyalties lie, but the vote is coming up this Sunday, February 19th. Has the INE even cleaned out the voting system to the point where the people's voice is really heard? Do the people really have a voice? Because both of these candidates are evidently highly connected with the Cabeza de Vaca family and the corresponding Cabeza de Vaca criminal syndicate who's trafficked all the migrants and all the drugs across the Rio Grande, the Rio Bravo, into Texas. You see why there is talk of chapulines, of people who jump across the fence and join this or that party, especially joining the Morena party. But there are other nations where this is going on too. In Brazil, fully half of the judges in the nation have received death threats, have received threats on their life, as reported by Merco Press. Now, this is the other side of the coin. It's not the wicked and the criminal syndicate whacking Faustino Lopez, a good senator. The people said during the election that they were under a judicial tyranny and asked the military to come in and help them and save them from the tyranny of the Supreme Court and the Supreme Electoral Tribunal. So what we could be seeing right now is the people of a nation that has been overrun by communist forces defending themselves and removing from the seat of government those who have usurped it and taken it illegally and not held those offices faithfully. Totally aside of who the Brazilian people may strike, lightning has struck the Christ the Redeemer statue, the famous idol of Rio de Janeiro. Perhaps the Lord will smite the nation. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will himself weigh in. Lula was busy chumming it up with illegitimate U.S. President Joe Biden in the Casablanca of Washington, D.C. this weekend. The report is that they agree on democracy and the environment. Of course, in reality, they represent neither. Their governments are not democratic. They are not of the people, by the people, and they do not really support the environment, but rather the environmental green hoax, which may well be the green or chloros horse of revelation. Dictador Daniel Ortega of Nicaragua, an infamous member nation of the Troika of Tyranny, has expelled 222 political prisoners over the weekend. Those persons deported to the United States are actually stateless, having been stripped of their Nicaraguan citizenship. The exiles include opposition leaders, critics of the government, including ex-presidential candidates, and a few Catholic priests. "Let them have their mercenaries," said Ortega in his televised statement. He's in his fifth presidential term, the second beside his wife and vice president, Rosario Murillo. Feel free to look up the incest and sex scandal of that presidential pair. It would make any critic of the Rays band blush. We'll do more news if we can in the bottom of the hour, but as for right now, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
dance.
Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 1 Timothy 5:24. And 25. We all talk about by your fruits you will know them, and if you go to church at all, there's talk of, well, we're just going to judge the fruit. Well, that's great, but it can be very shallow and it can be very carnal. And the apostle gave us this verse so that we understand that a lot of times these things have to be spiritually discerned, that we must operate in discerning of spirits, a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift that flows through those who are holy and walk holy and have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And what comes right before it, as if we needed another verse to break down this veneer of superficial holiness, let's read 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. The city of Las Vegas is full of whiskey drinking preachers that do their best to be a good father, do their best to not be corrupted by the world in a city that's very corrupt, do their best to protect their children. They're called rough men, men that work hard and might just hurt somebody that came to invade their home or destroy what they've built. Well, I'm here to say there is a place for you in the Lord's army. There is a place for you in the Lord's kingdom. And for the pistol pack and mamas, too. You do need to learn to be compassionate, to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting, and worship the Lord God Almighty and surrender yourself to him. You need to give up the control of your tongue and allow your mind to be unfruitful and operate in the gift of the Holy Ghost in your prayer language. If you want to prophesy, heal the sick, and operate in these greater gifts and the greater weapons of our warfare, just know that the Bible teaches us to beware of false holiness, of external holiness, of the Pharisees who are like whitewashed tombs. The Lord is calling the rough men, the men who are like those fishermen, like Peter and James and John and Andrew, unlearned, ignorant men, tough men that worked with their hands and worked in the sun. That's who the Lord chose primarily to be his core. Remember that he also chose Judas. Have I not chosen you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Judas had that external holiness. He was never with the Lord Jesus in spirit. In the end, his double life was found out. Who was it that lived a double life, even as he relentlessly threatened and prosecuted Jamark Davis and Ray's band? And did so all for jealousy and for control of 180, while Ray's band was under the yoke and was building the 180 brand. Oh, that was great. But once all these throwaway kids, confused kids, kids from checkered pasts and checkered backgrounds began to take on a life of their own, when they began to be excited about the gospel, when people were more excited to see them when they became the heroes for yet another lost generation of confused children to find freedom and family in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his community, that's when the machinery of 180 had to be protected. And who was it that sat in Moses' seat? None other than Blaine Bartel, who for another 10 years following kept his double life a secret. A double life which consisted of ongoing unnatural acts beyond adultery. Young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday very soon they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred. "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Thus said Nathan the prophet to King David." King David committed this horrible adultery. And I just want to comment on David's crime. People look at David and his crime like it's the worst possible thing that could ever be done. Really, it isn't. In fact, if you see the retribution for that crime, it's tenfold at least. The abominable crimes of Ezekiel 8 occur behind closed doors. Very serious hanging crimes occur within the family, behind the door of the family home. And this is where adulteries happen. This is where violations of the marriage covenant, that most sacred bond between human beings and the basic brick of society, occurs. And when those adulteries are committed upon, inflicted upon minors of age, just so that they'll grow up to be confused persons, just so that they'll never be able to love, just so they will be polluted, defiled from any relationship with God or with other people, and especially not with a marriage partner in their own life. Those are the serious crimes and rarely prosecuted. Okay, so yes, David committed adultery, took a man's wife that only had one, and then he had the guy murdered. Again, I do not want to trivialize any aspect of that, but when you look what Absalom did, he took 10 of David's concubines and went into them before all Israel in a tent set on the roof of the presidential palace. Here's Absalom's act in 2 Samuel 16, starting in 20. "Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel." And thus was accomplished the word of the prophet in 1 Samuel 12:11. "And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." Is God not just? Is it not he who hears the cries of the confused children that cry out to him night and day for justice? There was no man to appeal to. The sin and the violation was committed by the king in the land. There was no one higher who could have judged the matter, but the prophet came and judged the matter, and God did answer by fire. And so he is able to judge the guilty in your life if you'll cry out to him night and day.
"What do you mean, an American ninja? It's ridiculous!
Only a ninja can fight like him.
He's an American, a friend of the girls. And if he finds out that I'm involved, my career is finished."
"Your career is the least of my concerns, Mr. Ambassador. As for this American ninja, he may come to your embassy for help, and when he does, I want you to bring him straight to me."
"Do I have a choice?"
"No. And don't come back unless you bring the American with you."
There's a little movie quote for you from American Ninja 5. Yeah, the drug dealers and the kidnap victims are all in South America, and even the ambassador, the United States ambassador, is in on it. But when the people cry out, a hero gets raised up in the form of an American ninja. That's ridiculous, says the Wicked before he gets his ticket punched. I love it. Okay, okay, Ray's Band, 1998, 99, and 2000. Really the zenith of the megachurch movement. And a lot of people, that wasn't even artificial enough. The anonymity that caused these types of sins to thrive and to just fester, it still wasn't enough. And so shortly after this, the megachurch evolved again into the gigachurch, into the multi-site church, into the off-site and online church, where the anonymity was total, but still, yes, it was not so distant that Grotch couldn't reach out with the clippers and fleece those faraway anonymous sheep. It's very ironic that another era after that, starting in 2012, Torben Sondergaard, political prisoner in prison today, over 200 days from Denmark, began to very simply, in a small basement, preach out online, and those messages went around the world. He preached in over 40 countries and really shook the world with a tremendous revival called the Last Reformation. You should look into it if you haven't. It shook the world so badly that he's persecuted and he is chained in Florida today. So where was the heart of God in all this? Really, in the home church. Really, God wants us to get back to simple communities, to families and small groups of families, to break down the anonymity and the clergy-laity barrier, something that God never intended for his one holy people, his kingdom of priests, his royal priesthood, and his holy nation of kings and priests unto our God. Even Moses said, as the Levitical priesthood was being established, would to God that all the Lord's people would prophesy and that he would put his spirit upon them all. Now it is possible in the New Testament under the Lord Jesus and the release of the Holy Spirit. But human nature still wants to be distant from his fellow man and distant even from God, and just to send somebody up the mountain. Somebody go be Moses for us. Go up there and get the goods. But this is also why we have this warning in Exodus 20 and 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. If people go up on a pedestal, just like men wearing vestidos, wearing the flowing garments of old, they expose themselves before the crowd. When you put people up on a pedestal, when they're forced up there and pushed up there, and when they are allowed to climb up above the people, it tends toward sexual sin. We have this warning in the Bible. Okay, so Ray's Band and the pastoral failures. First of all, Jamark Davis was made into a sex symbol. He was made to go up by steps to the Lord's altar because it was profitable for the 180 brand. And the pastoral failure, I'll just tell you right now, the leaders of the band were in love. They were deeply in love. And you're talking about people that were in their 20s. Now, I was really the old man, okay? So I had been to the mission field. I had a black belt. I had been kidnapped by communist revolutionaries. I'd hacked my way through the jungle. And here I was back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to observe some of these things. Of course, I didn't have a big pedestal or a platform to reach out and boss people around. Maybe I would have messed it up as badly as the ones in charge did. But I just looked with my eyes. I looked with mine eyes, and here's what did not happen, is the pastoral leadership did not sit those two leaders down and say, look, you want to take this band in a Christian direction, you want to have all these other people, all these backup dancers working for you, and all of them sex symbols? Okay, you two are going to figure out your problems and get married, and you're going to be a married missionary couple, and that's going to be the first example to the world, is that when these kids start to grow up, if they're going to do the Lord's work, and if they're going to be in such a position, they need to do as the African missionary said, and to get married immediately. Second, you're dealing with an entire church move that proffers a defective baptism. There's no circumcision of the heart. There's no faith to go into the waters and die and come up a new creation. This is what Torben preaches, and this is why he's in prison today. And all that's aside from the fact that it was a perverse generation. See, I was half a generation above these kids. I had not come up in the same cesspool that they had in their generation and their life. Now, this is a family show on a family station, and I'm really watching my language, but I'm going to tell you what the Urban 180 pastor told me, just so that you understand what this generation was about. And this was the guy that was over a large sector of that whole movement. He said, Sam, you ever play hide-and-go-get-it as a kid? I said, hide-and-go-get-it? We play hide-and-seek. And he goes, no, hide-and-go-get-it. When I was a kid, we loved to play hide-and-go-get-it. Finally, like so many aspects of rap, urban culture, and Arkansas, the pastor had to break it down for me. He said, hide-and-go-get-it is when you get with the girl that you like under cover of playing the game, and then you go out deep in the hood and hide someplace and make out. That's hide-and-go-get-it. Okay, that is the generation that Raise Band was made of. And today, there's a generation that's even worse. So here's my pastoral advice. You don't get 20 busted up kids like that, that aren't regenerate, that haven't been counseled, baptized, that haven't been put through deliverance, and put them on a plane to Europe with their sex symbol that your church fabricated to make merchandise of his reputation. You don't do that. And this could have gone way beyond Blaine Bartell. It could have gone all the way to OGWG, somebody that I love and respect and count amongst my mentors, even though he and I were never close like the other mentors that I specifically name. That's a cowboy. That's a gunslinger. That's somebody who tried to take the Bible and put it in language that real people, working people, could understand. He took cowboy ministry and television ministry to a new place that it had never been, and in many respects is a forerunner to the gospel gunslingers of today. As you see, the whole thing, and not only that work, the whole church world was gravitating away from one another into anonymity, into larger and larger fellowships, into the mega church and then the giga church, and away from the home church, and away from a functional baptism, and away from the gifts operating on a community level, a neighborhood level, with known persons known to you, not vouched for by the super apostle. And the proof's in the pudding. The chief prosecutor and the head of all the rock stars of the rock star ministry that was 180 got totally caught with his pants down. And not just caught, his pants had been down the whole time. The gospel he was preaching was a defective gospel. He was not a new creation. It's not that he had a problem. It's not that he had an issue. Blaine Bartell was outside of the faith. He may yet be outside of the faith. I don't know if he's discovered a real baptism that makes a man a new creation, that circumcises the heart and makes old things pass away. And then, where the heck was OGWG? Just like when there's abuse in a home, the father always says, oh, I didn't know. After all the dollars and the hundred millions that passed through his hands, the one church plant that they did ever was Blaine Bartell's Frisco Church. And all through those years, decades even, the gospel gunslingers were driving diesels and driving nails to pay for our outreach habits. I've seen slaves go on horseback while princes travel on foot like slaves. Vanidad de vanidades, dijo sabio Salomón.
Love, get up, jump up, jump, everybody, come on, get up, giving it up.
Ah, those poor lost kids from a lost generation. And remember, they were born in the 80s. Some of the dance troupe was born in the very late 1980s. And I was the old man of the crew, hanging out 23, 24, 25 years old myself. I felt kind of like Grandpa looking back. He was 20 years old when he took his Warbird, his B-17 Flying Fortress, and 9 guys and flew out of Nebraska on his way to England to go fight in World War II. On his ship, I believe he was the only man aboard that was not a teenager. Today there's a generation, voting age, police officers running for political office that were born after 9/11. They have no recollection of what was free America, and they don't understand how bad the prison planet 1.0 was before 9/11/2001. They don't know how pervasive was the control back then of education, of taxation, of most all of the media, and the advancement of the surveillance and police state. It was bad in 1999. We thought it was the end of the world then. No matter what nation you are in, if you're under the sound of my voice, you are a captive in the prison planet. And Jesus came to set the captives free. Will you do like these poor lost kids and dare to be free? Dare to believe God for your escape? Dare to believe God to actually be found in Him, to be a believer, to be a citizen of the New Jerusalem? Believe that the gospel is real, because I'll tell you what, churchonomics and church politics has made it a dead edifice, made the church a tomb full of dead men's bones. Go read Zechariah 11 and Ezekiel 34. Go read Ezekiel 8, where all the elders of Israel are worshiping secretly abominable things. Do like these kids. Dare to be free. What happened when Israel dared to be free, when they began to believe the word of Moses and Aaron? Oh, the cruel taskmasters came after them with whips. They stopped giving them straw. They made them work even harder. They made them groan under their burdens. And that is the tragic story of the band Raise. They tried to escape and failed. They tried to run to God and they didn't make it. And not only they, but their generation with them, the yoke of wood was broken off of them and replaced with a yoke of iron. But now these are the days of Elijah. The Lord is sending the spirit of Elijah, just like He promised in the closing verses of Zechariah in the end of the Old Testament, that He would send the spirit of Elijah upon the earth. And this is what we teach as gospel gunslingers. The Lord is sending His power and His prophecy to break open prison doors like never before. Listen, friends, I'm out of time. It's a miracle that you have heard my voice. I scraped together my last nickels to get on the air, to tell you this tale, to tell you that I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary, and that there is good news in these last days. Send me a message on gospelgunslingers.com. Let's be friends, always and forever.
Month of December. miles and miles are between us, like Earth to Mars and then on the Venus. Although you've gone away, I still see your face.
That's Donnie with the power vocals. Always when you hear somebody really shout out and sing, it's her. She's the one that really gives Raise a gospel feel. Even though their music's electronic, even though it's a new sound, it's a European techno house dance mix, it's still got that gospel feel. And it's Donnie's voice that does that. And you can really tell that these are people that learn to sing worship in the Lord. Hey, I'm back with you, and we may make this a custom. We are on terrestrial radio now, so there's a radio edit. But maybe this will be my final segment where I let my hair down, where we throw off the constraints and run a full throttle, no holds barred final segment, and a little bit more news in it for the shortwave and internet audiences only. I hope you can hear me out there, because reading from Strange Sounds, extreme UV radiation ionized the top of Earth's atmosphere, causing a strong shortwave radio blackout over South America. Oh, we believe God for this signal to arrive. This was an impulsive flare, intense and fast. It may not have lasted long enough to lift a CME out of the sun's atmosphere. That would be a coronal mass ejection. So there are some sun storms, and we hope that the shortwave audience is going to get good propagation and be able to hear us. Furthermore, the same website reports that lightning strikes the Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro. Now, you probably know all about this if you're in South America. When I was up on Twitter, and a preacher asked, is this a sign from God? What do you think? I had a couple hundred replies. And most people poo-pooed that idea. Oh, well, I don't think so. I don't think so. And here's what I say about that. I wasn't going to weigh in on Twitter. A lot of people that confess Christ, their faith is completely not miraculous at all. It is an ideology. It is really a philosophy. And what that means is that they don't really know God, they don't really talk to God, and they don't expect God to talk to them. I would ask you to just open yourself to the world of angelic visitations. Pursue the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Pursue having your own prayer language, where your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit communes with God's spirit, and then I believe that you'll perceive many signs from God all the time. Don't make a major life decision, like marry somebody. Don't do that without a clear sign from God. You should have dreams and visions. If you have to fast to get an answer from God, do it. Put a fleece before God, like Gideon did. these are all ways when you're at an important juncture in your life to reach out and to ask God to speak to you. But you know what? Let's not make it all too metaphysical. God is alive. His Spirit is in the earth and desires to teach us all things, to teach us the Word of God. First of all, He will breathe on the Word. He will make it rhema word. He'll speak to you about the Bible, but He will also speak to you about your life and your decisions and right and wrong, and even the heart of the unbeliever. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will convict him of sin. So even someone who's not down the path, who's not maturing as a Christian, they still, the Bible says, receive instruction from God to convict them of sin. If God is convicting you of sin, bow the knee, serve the Lord God Almighty, confess the Lord Jesus, confess Jesus as your Lord. God willing, I'll see you next week.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.